Well, open with me in your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter 5. Today we continue in the book of Romans, and we're going to look at gifts and inheritances. If you think about for a moment as you're churning there, what's something that you have inherited? For me, both my dad and my grandfather were tall men. I'm thankful for my height, except when I'm going downstairs and I bonk my head. That's always not very pleasant. But think about what is something that you have inherited, maybe something that you may or may not be thankful for. Maybe you have a trait that you're that may not be very pleasant in your own mind. Maybe your hair or your lack of it. Maybe it's the shape of your nose. I don't know. Some things we inherit can be good. There are others not so much. Proverbs 13:22, it says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So for those of you that are grandparents, it's good to leave an inheritance, something for the next generation. Not only just something that's physical and tangible, but something, a spiritual legacy is always very important as well. And so for the last few weeks, we've been discussing Abraham and that he is the father of all who believe, all that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that have been justified by faith, last week we talked about some of those great benefits that we receive when we are justified by being declared not guilty before God. We are justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can have peace with God. We can have access with God. We can have grace. We can have the ability to rejoice in tribulation, even when you have the flu. We can rejoice that we have the Holy Spirit, that we have love, that we can have deliverance. We can have joy. Those are some great gifts that we receive when we are declared not guilty before a just and a holy God. We covered Romans 5:8. We said that this is one of those key Roman road verses, that God demonstrates his own love towards us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us not because we were good. It wasn't because we just needed a little extra to get over the finish line. Jesus died for you and me because we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We could not earn salvation. We don't deserve it. And we will see today that we all inherit sin and death because of Adam. Jesus said in Luke 5:32 that I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. As we've said over and over again, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And so today, our big idea is that in Adam we fell, but in Christ we live. In Adam we fell, but in Christ we live. In Christ we receive the free gift of grace and eternal life. We will look at Adam as our representative and what we have inherited from him. And let me tell you, it's not good. The gift that our ancestor Adam gives to us, but so much more what our Lord Christ Jesus gives to us as an inheritance. Paul, he's been establishing that all have sinned and fallen short because of sin, and all are under God's just wrath, and we can only avoid such wrath by believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul so boldly proclaimed in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, but also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, let's read today Romans 5, 12 through the end of the chapter, through verse 21. Romans 5, 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which come from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. First, by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded so much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. I want to note that the beginning of this chapter, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the chapter ends on the same note, "so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Lord is the central idea to the preaching of God's word. Sin reigned in death, but Christ overcame the grave and gives eternal life to all that would believe in him. It's also very interesting to point out that the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5, they're actually one sentence in the Greek. So from verse 12, "therefore," again, we have another "therefore" in the book of Romans. Paul, he's started the same "therefore" at the start of the beginning of the chapter. It's like one big thought, one long run-on sentence, one sermon. And the main idea is that justification is by faith, and that faith is a free gift. Today, as we look at these verses, Paul, he's going to look back even further than Father Abraham. He's going to go all the way back to Adam, the first created man. And so we're going to see this comparison of the things that our ancestor Adam gives to us as an inheritance. And so Adam is our representative from verses 12 through 14. Let me read those to you again. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness, who is a type of him who was to come." Adam is what's called our federal headship. He is our representative. And in Adam, we fell. We received misery, loss, and death. And because Adam sinned, he was the first of us. He represented us as the whole of the human race. He was our representative. And because Adam, because he chose to sin, all of us are guilty by association because we came from Adam's seed. Now, if, say, President Trump gets Congress to go to war, let's say, against Russia, because President Trump is our representative, a country goes to war, its members, its residents also go to war as well. You may not like it, but that's just the way it is. If a president of a major corporation makes a decision, it affects the whole company. So Adam's decision reflects the total of his offspring. Well, let me ask you a question. Excuse me, who sinned first in the garden? Was it Adam or was it Eve? Why is Adam blamed for the fall when Eve sinned first? Now, I'm not trying to shift blame, but chronologically, Eve sinned first. She was deceived. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:14, it says that Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a transgressor. Adam, though, he ate willfully. He chose to follow the woman's advice. Here in Romans, it says that sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people. Well, Paul, he is acknowledging the historicity, the veracity of the creation account in Genesis. And Adam had, he had certainly tried to blame Eve that it was her fault. And if that wasn't enough, he actually, Adam also blamed God. He said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate." The blame game. It's the woman's fault. And in fact, God, if it's not her fault, you're the one that gave her to me. It's your fault, God, if it's, you know, you're the one to blame. Adam, he doesn't take responsibility for his own sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Now, this does not teach universalism, but all that are in Christ shall be made alive. We must be in Christ in order to be made alive. But all of those that are in Christ will be saved. We see this from verse 15. It says, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Adam was created first. He was responsible for the woman. And if you notice in Genesis 3:9 that God questions Adam first. Adam, he was the leader, and he was responsible for what happened to his family. And so men, we are to be the spiritual leaders of our homes. Men, you are spiritually responsible for your kids, and we would even say your grandkids, that they know the gospel, that they are protected physically and spiritually. Through Adam, sin spread to all. And death is something that we inherit from our ancestor Adam, and everyone that is alive, unless the rapture comes, will die. Verse 14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of who is to come." All humans from the time of Adam to the time of Moses died. They died not only because of Adam's sin, but also because of personal sin. If you're human, you're going to die. You are an offspring of Adam. Through Adam, we all receive death. We die physically and also spiritually. And the solution, therefore, comes not from Adam's seed, because Adam's seed only gives death. But as we see in Genesis, God provides a way actually through the woman's seed. So a quick biology lesson for you. Women have eggs. Men, they have seed. Through the virgin birth, God would come and redeem those that could receive this free gift. Adam, we receive the inheritance of death. In verse 14, it says that he was a type to come. Who was to come after Adam? Well, the Sunday school answer to all questions, Jesus. Adam was a type of him who was to come, the Lord Jesus. If in Adam we sinned, he was our federal type. He was a type. In the Gospel of Luke, it traces Jesus' genealogy, describing family's tree back to Adam, calling Adam the Son of God. And so a comparison of how Adam was a type of Christ. Adam, he was put to death, put to sleep. Many might think he was put to death, but he did die eventually. But Adam was put to sleep for a short time for his bride. Jesus, he died for his bride, the church, for a short while, for 3 days and for 3 nights. Adam's side was opened and a rib was taken for his bride. Christ's side was pierced for us. Adam, he was tempted and transgressed. Jesus, he was tempted, but he overcame. Adam, he was made from the dirt. Jesus made all things, even the dirt and even Adam. Jesus is called the last and the second Adam in contrast to the first Adam, because there is no third Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And was the man, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. We have been born the image of the man of dust. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." So if you get anything out of this sermon, if you get anything out of my preaching, it's that salvation is a free gift purchased by Jesus Christ, received to us by faith. Adam, he is our representative of the human race. And in Adam, we fell into sin and condemnation. We inherited death. But in Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. Amen? Amen. The free gift was purchased by Jesus Christ. It says, but the free gift is not like the offense. What was the offense? It was Adam's disobedience, his transgression. And you might think, well, it's not very fair that I receive condemnation from my great ancestor some 6,000 years ago. And you know, you're kind of right. Well, why do I face the results and the consequences of Adam's sin? In reality, it's not really fair. But you and I, we would have done exactly the same. Each one of us has sinned individually every day. And throughout the Bible, we usually see that children are not usually punished for sins committed by parents, and vice versa. Parents aren't to be punished for the sins of the children. Everyone is responsible for their own sins. It may not be fair that we inherit death from Adam, but it's also not fair that we can have our sins forgiven. Because if we accept Christ's righteousness imputed to us, we must realize that we are a sinner by birth. God, he is just to punish Jesus for our sins. God, he glorifies himself by offering us the free gift of pardon, the gift of righteousness that he pays for himself on behalf of himself. Verse 15, it says, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, it abounded to many. Now the word many has different meanings. It's kind of like the word soon. If you notice, Paul didn't say that if by one man's offense all died. All did die. All died because of Adam's sin. But the grace of God abounded to many, many that believe. Not all, but to all that believe will be saved. We get the free gift because it was purchased. It was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. It's available to all, but it abounded. It is effective only to those who received it. And you have to receive a gift. It is not earned. John MacArthur, he says on these verses, Paul uses the word many with two distinct meanings in verse 15, just as he will use the word all in verse 18. He already established that all men without exception bear the guilt of sin and are therefore subject to death. So the many who die must refer to all of Adam's descendants. But how much more the grace of God is available to all who would believe. We've inherited death from our ancestor Adam. But three things from this passage that I want you to see that we inherit from Christ. We've talked about grace, verses 15 through 16. Grace, similar to peace, as we talked last week. Grace, it is a gift from God. It is unmerited. Adam's sin, it was severe. It cost humanity the ability to reach out and to eat from the tree of life. Because if he was able to eat from the tree of life after he had sinned, he would have lived in this fallen state forever, a state of shame and disgrace. And instead, God, in his grace, he decided for Adam to live a long life, but to eventually die physically. Sin caused separation. Separation in the garden, separation from God, separation from one another. But God brought forgiveness and mercy in his grace, something not earned, but freely given. We received judgment and condemnation from Adam, but the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. And so not only have we received grace, we have also received justification. The free gift of God resulted in justification, verse 16b. The way for people to be right with the holy, omnipotent God, just as if we hadn't sinned. And also, thirdly, we also receive righteousness, verses 17 through 19. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift come to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's offense many will be made righteous. We can only be made righteous through the obedience of Jesus. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. His death and act of obedience resulted in us being declared not guilty. Though in Adam we fell, we lost dominion, we lost fellowship with God. We were separated from God and we became his enemies. But how much more the gift of righteousness that outweighs the offense of Adam. Verse 20 says, don't miss it. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounded, grace abounded so much more. We were given the law of God to show our need for our Savior. We were made aware of our shortcomings and our sins. We're told, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where we sinned, our offenses, they were stacked up against us. But where sin abounded, grace abounded so much more. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Verse 21 says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we said, the chapter, it starts and ends with what God, Christ Jesus, has done for us. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life is only something that is given through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grace, God's unmerited favor, his free gift of pardon, inheritance, something that we receive from him, eternal life. That great hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains to be saved to sin no more. Though in Adam we fell, in Christ Jesus we live. Let me finish with this. If you glance with me at Romans 6:14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, I thank you again that Jesus Christ is our peace. Lord, that he is our substitute. He is the second Adam, and he is also the final Adam. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And he has created all things. Lord, thank you that even though we have inherited sin and death through Adam, that even though we are sinners, that Christ Jesus, he died for us, so that we can partake of the free gift of eternal life that is available to all that would believe, all that would confess, all that would receive him. O Lord, grant us boldness in proclaiming Christ and Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Thank you that we can have eternal life, not based on anything that we have done, but all purchased by your Son. Lord, make it personal in each and every one of us today. Thank you for the free gift of faith and eternal life. It is in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord that we pray. In the name of Jesus.